Express 2 on Radio 1. Right, we'll see you in for Moyles Monday morning at 7. Those are my wonder years. Have an amazing weekend. Eric Murillo in 15 minutes on Radio 1. 5:45, here's Georgina Bowman.
1 year on, we remember the victims of the London bombings.
It's a very sad day today. It's quite an emotional day for me personally.
I do not forgive them for what they did, and I don't think they should be forgiven.
We have all shed a tear or two.
Vigils across the UK and a 2-minute silence. But Britain's top policeman warns the danger of more attacks is greater than ever.
Newsbeat.
Also tonight, even vaccinations may be failing to prevent this. Fears the whooping cough jab isn't working properly. We're in Berlin with this guy.
Hello, it's Motti here. Later on in Newsbeat, I'll be giving you my take on the World Cup so far, and I'll also be looking ahead to what should be an exciting final on Sunday between France and Italy.
And we're at Scotland's biggest music festival.
Radio 1 Newsbeat.
A year ago today, London was hit by the first ever suicide bombings in Britain. 52 people were killed in the attacks. Hundreds others were injured. 12 months on, and services have been held throughout the day to remember the dead. Newsbeat's Duncan Middleton reports.
The bombers struck during the morning rush hour.
Just a massive hole in the side of the train. It was just a mass explosion.
There was just people screaming and wailing. People are dying in here. Help us, help us.
Three of them travelled down from Leeds and met a fourth man at Luton. When they got to London, they split up. Three bombs exploded on the underground, the last one on a bus.
Every injury you can think of, every serious injury I've ever seen, you saw within a few hours.
This morning, vigils were held at each place where the bombs went off, as relatives left flowers, poems, tributes and photos.
I can't say it's been easy, because it hasn't. I still love him and miss him very much.
Veronica Russell's son, Philip, died in the bus bomb at Tavistock Square.
You do have moments where you can be sort of brighter, but yes, a lot of it's gone.
At midday, the chimes of Big Ben marked the start of 2 minutes silence.
Nobody deserves to die alone in the dirt of an underground tunnel.
Every day, every hour, every minute, I think of that.
I miss her dreadfully. I mean, there's such a big void in our family, and it's so quiet now that she's not there.
In the next few minutes, a service will be held at Regent's Park in the heart of London for victims' families and survivors. The Reverend Brian Lee's been hearing how their lives have changed.
The first anniversary of anything is always very emotional. On a sad occasion, it is even more emotional and painful. And I have to tell you that we have all shed a tear or two over the past 4 or 5 hours.
For the last year, police and security services say they've thrown everything into trying to prevent a repeat of what happened. Britain's top police officer is Sir Ian Blair.
The threat is very grim. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there are, as we speak, people in the United Kingdom planning further atrocities.
Here's our political reporter, Regini Vaidyanathan.
It's a case of when the next attack will happen rather than if. The security services say there are 1,200 Islamic extremists involved in terrorism in the UK. Although that's a tiny minority of British Muslims, the threat they pose is real. It's believed that at least 3 or 4 major plots have been foiled in the last year. And since last summer, 41 people have been charged with terrorist-related crimes. MI5's trying to recruit more spies.
Radio 1 Newsbeat.
Some other stories today. An Italian judge says the country's former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi should face trial on fraud charges. There are claims of dodgy tax deals, money laundering and siphoning off cash at his family's media company. The husband of the culture secretary, Tessa Jowles, also been ordered to stand trial. The couple split up over all this. A respected teacher's been banned from the classroom after he was jailed for organising football fights. David Walker taught history at a school in Birmingham. He served time for setting up a ruck between Southampton and Charlton fans at a rail station in 2002. BBC bosses pocketed bumper pay rises last year as thousands of workers faced redundancy. Director General Mark Thompson didn't take his bonus but did see a £160,000 pay rise. Other bosses got big pay rises too, all paid for by the licence fee.
One.
Eric Murillo's in for Pete Tong from 6. Before that though, we're off to Tea in the Park where this lot will be playing.
Yeah.
There are fears the whooping cough jab's not working too well. Kids are getting it, even if they've had the injection. It can be very dangerous for babies and young children, and even kill. Newsbeat's Maddie Savage is with a mum and daughter in Nottingham.
This is Jane Walden, who runs a florist's here. She thinks she caught the infection and passed it on to Emily, who was 8 at the time.
I know you do get bacteria when you sneeze and when you cough, and although I'm quite careful washing my hands and everything, obviously we all live in the same house. I wasn't aware that children get it worse.
A sore around my throat and round chest made me a bit sick. It is rather hard to sleep at night and had to have like lots of pillows like support your head up a little bit.
It took Emily 6 weeks to get better. Some kids take months. A study's found nearly 40% of children who went to their GP with a persistent cough had the whooping cough infection. That's even though most had been immunised. Dr. Anthony Harnden's a specialist.
The vaccine doesn't seem to last for as long as we'd hoped for. It might well be that you need to be boosted on a regular basis throughout life to receive lifelong protection.
Until then, the advice is make sure your child still gets the jab. Most won't develop whooping cough, and it's vital to protect them so they don't pass the infection to babies who can die from it.
I understood that you could get it after a vaccination, but it was a very mild form. Well, if the form that she has was very mild, I hate to think what a worse version of it would be.
This is One National Radio One.
Now, let's go back to the day's main news, the first anniversary of the London bombings. And one of the most striking images at the time was the one of a man rescuing a woman whose badly burnt face was covered with a mask. That man was Paul Dadge. He told us he wanted to know what the perspective of things was for British Muslims since the attacks. So Newsbeat took him to meet Azeem. He completely condemns the attacks and wants to change attitudes amongst the minority in his community who support terror.
My name's Paul Dadge. Reason for me being here today is to really get an understanding, a different perspective on why people think that people like Mohammed Sadiq Khan wanted to carry out the acts of terrorism.
My name is Azeem Hussain. I'm 20 years old and I live in Keighley, West Yorkshire. Yeah, I wanted to get in touch with Newsbeat because I wanted to defend Muslims because stuff like this causes stereotyping. No, we're not all like that. It's just a minority.
Mohammed Sadiq Khan described in his video that he was a soldier of war and he was going to go to the gardens of paradise.
I don't think so, because killing an innocent, there is no paradise for that.
I was extremely frustrated that people who have grown up in the UK, who play cricket in the UK, who've worked as teachers in the UK, have then blown up their fellow humans.
When I learned it was a Muslim, I was quite disgusted. You know, all these times, like, our parents have been in this country trying to make a name for us, trying to integrate with the community, and what they've done is they've just blown it away in about 5 seconds. Just for the actions of these four people who were brainwashed, it's direct relations between the Muslims and the non-Muslims in this country, which our families took ages and ages to bring together. Do you feel any differently towards Muslims? I'd understand if you did, obviously.
It's not changed my opinion that I don't view anybody in the Muslim community any different than I did prior to the 7th of July. But I do think that there's a level of apprehension now looking at people in the Muslim community, because we do know that there are people out there who are in underground who do have the same aims and beliefs as the bombers, and that's something which we need to work on.
I know what you're saying, because it will make you look at Muslims in a slightly different way, because it was at the end of the day Muslims that did the attack. Well, what they called themselves Muslims, they did it in the name of Islam, but it wasn't, you see, it was just a cowardly act. Even if people say that they don't think differently of Muslims, even I do, I'm a Muslim myself, and even I think differently a Muslim now, because I wasn't aware that people were capable of doing stuff like this, and especially not in the UK, because we've been brought up here. The last thing you want to do is turn your back on these.
I think it's extremely important now that people are educated at grassroots level. You know, we need to sit down and talk about it. We need to sit down and talk to these people who do feel that way.
I understand that, but getting through to these people would be very hard. Same way as getting through to a football hooligan telling him not to cause trouble, same as the Muslim terrorists.
And you can read or hear that interview in full on Radio 1 online. Just click on News. There is an official helpline for anyone who needs support or advice a year on from the bombings. The number to call is 0845 054 7444.
Newsbeat at the World Cup.
Henry goes down in the area and wins the penalty. Zidane is ready and scores!
Can't get room for the shot. Squeezes it through. Shot driven in. Grosso has taken Italy into the final of the World Cup.
This is David Garrido in Berlin, where Italy and France will be playing the World Cup final on Sunday. The German capital is slowly turning blue as both sets of fans stream off the trains and head straight for the bars. I've enlisted the help of a true footy anorak and BBC TV commentator John Motson to look ahead to the final. But first I asked Motti about England's exit in the quarterfinals. He said Sven was partly to blame.
I don't think he came with a settled formation. Well, he did, but then he changed it and then he sort of fiddled around with it. I don't think we quite knew all the time what the players were being expected or us to do. And there's been a lot of criticism of the wives and girlfriends being so close to the team, which no other country, as far as I'm aware, would have tolerated. Having said that, matches tend to hinge on chances taken or not taken. And when we look at the England performances, patchy though they were, there were a lot of opportunities, particularly for Frank Lampard.
Marta, let's talk about the final. France, Italy. What are you expecting from this final? What's it going to be like?
I think the best thing that could happen would be for France to score an early goal, which would bring Italy out. And I just wonder whether Italy will be slightly the fresher side. And if they are, I would expect a one-goal win for Italy.
Can you pick out a player from each side for us?
Well, I have to mention Cannavaro. It's his 100th cap, one of the world's best defenders, the Italian captain. And for France, well, the focus is very much on Zidane, because nobody thought that Zinedine Zidane would come back out of retirement to play international football. And it would be almost fitting, in a way, if he was to go out as a winner. So there you are. I've said I think Italy will win, but I've also said it would be quite nice for Zidane if France won.
Now tell me, for you personally, which has been the hardest game in this World Cup for you to commentate on and why?
Well, all the England games are difficult because you are aware all the time about how many people at home are on the edge of their seat living this thing. There you are, if you like, in a penalty shootout. It could go either way. So on the one hand, you're going to kind of prepare people for bitter disappointment. But on the other hand, you've got to keep your brain open for euphoria. So balancing the act in the England games is quite tricky.
FIFA have admitted they wanted their Young Player of the World Cup award to go to someone with decent behaviour. So they've given it to Germany striker Lukas Podolski and not Cristiano Ronaldo. David Beckham's people say he's not on his way to Newcastle. They've denied reports he and Posh met up with chairman Freddie Shepherd. Wigan have paid Birmingham a record £5.5 million for striker Emil Heskey. Jockey Kieran Fallon won't be allowed to race in Britain until the end of his trial into suspected race fixing. And coming up this weekend, it's a Commonwealth heavyweight title rematch for Danny Williams and Matt Skelton at the Millennium Stadium. And the Tour de France heads into Brittany with Belgium's Tom Boonen still wearing that overall leader's yellow jersey.
Newsbeat. One.
This is Newsbeat's Richard Foster at Wimbledon. Guess who's through to the final then? Yeah, the number one Roger Federer beat Jonas Bjorkman in straight sets. 6-2, 6-love, 6-2. He'll be back here on Sunday.
I thought I played a good match. I was in every service game of him, and I think that really was difficult for him.
But we still don't know who he's going to be playing. It'll either be Marcos Baghdatis or Rafael Nadal. They're on court now and it's really exciting. Great tennis here. Nadal took the first set 6-1. It's now 4-all in the second set. Justine Henin-Hardenne and Amélie Mauresmo have been getting in their last-minute practice ahead of the women's final tomorrow. They met in the final of this year's Australian Open. Mauresmo won back then and she's looking forward to playing Henin-Hardenne again.
I'm sure she really wants to have the revenge. She really wants to show that, you know, she can win here also. I think it's the only one she hasn't won, and this final I have to be consistent.
Tea in the Park on Radio 1.
You've seen all the Tea in the Park stuff on Radio 1 online. There's the full lineup and all the details of how you can catch the highlights on Radio 1 across the weekend. Arctic Monkeys, Kaiser Chiefs and Franz Ferdinand, anyone? Kev Geegan for our entertainment team's already at the site in Balado near Kinross. How's it looking, Kev?
Well, George, it's looking pretty good from where I am at the moment. I'm standing on the Radio 1 NME stage looking out at these beautiful rolling hills over the horizon. Now, obviously, minus a few thousand people, this is going to be the same view that's going to be shared by Pharrell, the Zootons, and Richard Ashcroft over the weekend.
Everything in place then?
Well, the main arena's a bit quiet at the moment. A few JCBs and some blokes and some fluorescent jackets. There are about 70,000 people coming here over the weekend. They're starting to fill up the huge campsites just behind where I am now. Now, they're here to see bands like the Kaiser Chiefs, Arctic Monkeys, The Strokes and Hardfi. Now, it's also a big homecoming gig for Franz Ferdinand. They played the Radio 1 stage last year and they're on the main stage just before headliners the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Alex called Colin Murray from his hotel room in Poland this afternoon.
It
it was a real reminder of how amazing the Scottish audience is are and can be, and getting on stage and seeing all these thousands of people dancing around, it was like seeing the sea on a stormy night or something like that. It was absolutely wonderful, really breathtaking.
And they're testing out the mics just behind me, as you can hear. The festival has completely sold out, but you're not going to miss a thing, because all the good bits are going to be broadcast over Radio 1 all weekend.
It's 6 o'clock on Radio 1.
Newsbeat.
And a reminder of the day's main news, the first anniversary of the London bombings. Vigils and two-minute silence have been held for the victims. 52 people died when four British Muslim extremists blew up tube trains and a bus. Tonight's weather, dry and warm.
Radio 1.
Newsbeat.
You ready?
In new music, we trust. New music, we trust.